listening to her play the piano. Ross usually plays longer. I just was listening to the music and just loving the song. Oh, good morning. I can see I'm going to have to go out and start chasing down some people, as there looks like everybody's out of town this week or locked. It's not that cold yet. I shouldn't be stuck at home. If Pat makes it out, anybody should make it out. But it doesn't quite feel like Christmas without any snow on the ground. I know some of you are praising that, Louise. But I'd like a couple inches. Yeah. Shelly agrees with me. I can count on Shelly to agree with me, usually. But, well, let's just turn in our Bibles to Hebrews chapter 1. Or just look up on screen. Let's see. Let's just read God's Word together this morning. In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, He has spoken to us by His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things, and through whom He made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of His being, sustaining all things by His powerful Word. After He had provided purification for sins, He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty in heaven. So He became as much superior to the angels as the name He has inherited is superior to theirs. For to which of the angels did God ever say, "You are my Son, today I have become your Father"? Or again, "I will be His Father and He will be my Son"? And I'll just stop there, as I forgot that I only went to verse 4 on this side. Let's pray. Father God, we do thank You for Your Word. Lord, we thank You that Your Word just pulls us in and it lays out so much for us. It lays out all. Lord, Your truth is there for us. Help us to see it, to know it, believe it, and receive it. Lord, I pray for Your anointing to be upon me as I preach this morning, that as I speak, I would touch each person here with a message from You that they need to hear this morning. And that each person would be encouraged and blessed. And that Your name would be lifted up and glorified. We do pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I started reading. I just wanted to keep on reading. And I've been kind of fighting with myself about that one all week, whether I would just do the first four verses or read the entirety of chapter 1. And I'm going to finish the rest of chapter 1 right now of Hebrews. And it says, "For which of the angels did God ever say, 'You are my Son, today I have become your Father'? Or again, 'I will be His Father and He will be my Son'? And again, when God brings His firstborn into the world, He says, 'Let all the God's angels worship Him.' And speaking of the angels, He says, 'He makes His angels winds, His servants flames of fire.' But about the Son, He says, 'Your throne, O God, will last forever and ever. And righteousness will be the scepter of Your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore, God, Your God, has set You above Your companions by anointing You with the oil of joy.' He also says, 'In the beginning, O Lord, You laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the work of Your hands. They will perish, but You remain. They will all wear out like a garment. You will roll them up like a robe. Like a garment, they will be changed, but you remain the same, and your years will never end. To which of the angels did God ever say, "Sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet"? Are not all angels ministering spirits sent to serve those who will inherit salvation? Amen. Last week, I was talking about how God humbled Himself. How the God of heaven became a baby. Became the very embodiment of hope and joy and salvation in that of a small child born to parents of mean estate. Sorry. And am I getting too close to these monitors? Is that the issue? Okay. Because I'm standing right on top of this one. I can back up. But that humble, that God humbled Himself, that He set aside His omniscience, His all-knowing nature. He set aside His omnipotence, His omnipotent, His all-powerful. And put Himself in the hands of young Mary and Joseph. And made Himself dependent upon them. That was humbling. And God showed us that. But this week, I want to talk about how well that humble little baby was still, in fact, God. Baby divine. This infant, at the very moment of conception, was God. Now, people have some confused ideas about the relationship of God and the world. I've got a little slide I want to show you that will kind of lay out the way most people like to figure out the hierarchy. We've got God at the top. There's God. And then we've got the angels. Then you've got man. And then you've got the world. Now, people are confused. In today's society, we'll have people that will try to mix some of these up. We'll have some people who will say that the world is above man. I mean, these are the ones who... we've got some people who... eco-terrorists, if you would, kind of people. That type of thing. They would rather that people die than that than an animal would die. Or a plant be damaged. You know, a 2,000-year sequoia is a wonderful, wonderful thing, but it's not worth a human life. But other people, there are people who would say the other. But this is the idea that most people here in this country, maybe even this church, might put things. Well, hopefully I got these in the right order. Next slide. This is the way most of us here in the church, or a lot of people in the world, think. They'll go, you know, there's God, then there's Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and the angels, man, and the world. We think of somehow Jesus and the Holy Spirit subservient to God, the Father. But that's not really a right picture either. Let's go to the next slide. Here we have what would be the way the Hebrew people, the people of Israel, at the time that Jesus would lay out the theology of place. Say, this is where it is. Here's God up top. Now, you'll notice there is no room for anything to be above God. Where the other diagrams, there were. There is nothing that is above God. And you'll also notice that there's no space between God and the angels. Can't slip anything in there. This was what they said. This is the order of creation. There's God, and there is absolutely nothing who is above God. God is all-powerful. Then we have the angels who are immediately below God, and there is no room of space between them. And then a ways down we have man and the world. And that is the way that the Hebrew world viewed the order of place, the theology of place. So when Jesus comes along and there are claims about him, there are difficulties. Let's go to our next slide. Now, they wouldn't have had any problems with Jesus being seen to be a great man. That's okay. No problem with that. But when we read our scripture today, that wasn't the description that was given of him, was it? Here I've got Jesus actually larger than man, so that he's actually a great man. And they wouldn't have had any issue with that claim. Let's go next slide. Here we have Jesus above man, just under the angels. Again, this is a position that they wouldn't have had difficulty with. They would have said, okay, Jesus was something more. There was something more to Jesus. But according to their theology, there was God and there was the angels and then a space and then man. But there was nothing, no space for anything above. And that was the only place. Maybe. Next. Jesus could have been equal to the angels. Because the angels were created beings. But that's not the claim that we find here in this passage in Hebrews. What we find is next, is that Jesus is above the angels. And the only place that's above the angels is God. So Jesus, by being above the angels, has to be God. God and Jesus is one. And what it says here, the Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of His being, sustaining all things by His powerful word. Okay. This is the place of Jesus. Oh, we weren't ready for that one yet. Back. This is the place of Jesus. Above the angels. Therefore, He is God. Okay, next. We see that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are all described as God, and they are God. When we look at God, we see the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. When we look at the Son, Jesus tells us, you're looking at the Father. When you look at the Father, you look at me. When you look at me, you see the Father. When you talk to the Holy Spirit, you're speaking to me. These are the words. So the theology of place here is there is nothing that can be above God. After God, we have His angels who are, we're told, ministering, made to minister to those who will inherit salvation. Which means that, I don't have a slide for it, that when we go and inherit the kingdom of heaven, we will be placed above the angels. Not that we will be God, but that in fact the angels are, there is a space there where we will be with the Lord in heaven while the angels are there. So I'm not quite sure where that all fits there, but what we do tell us, have us telling us here is that this baby that is born on Christmas morning is God. And He was God before creation. In fact, He was the one who did creation. It was His hand that laid the foundations of the earth. It was His hand that reached out and grabbed the finger of His mother, Mary. He was indeed humbled in form and was a man. Started out as a baby, just a real man, not a pretend man. This isn't... Okay, we can close that slide. This isn't like the Greek or Roman gods of the time, where if you've studied Greek mythology, the gods were pretty stupid. You know, they had supernatural powers. They could change shape. They could throw lightning bolts or do different things. But you could trick them. You could fool them. It was possible to be smarter to them. And in some instances, you could even be stronger. In the case of Hercules, he was stronger than some of them. But that's not reality. That confused idea of who God is and His power. God isn't a man who just has a few extra abilities. Okay, He's not like the X-Men. He's not like some cartoon character. Has supernatural powers. He's not Spider-Man. He's not anything like that. Instead, He was indeed a man, and He is man yet. Remember, He was bodily resurrected. He has His perfect body. And it is a human body. He is indeed fully man, but yet fully and completely God, and has returned back to heaven, and has returned back to His omniscient and omnipotent position. But Jesus is fully man and fully God. And He was made above the angels. He is indeed more than man, more than the angels. He is, beyond a doubt, God, the Creator of this world and the entire universe. And now He sits at the right hand, God the Father in heaven, and He says here, "Sit at My right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet." That is the position that the little baby Jesus has assumed in heaven. And He did this for our benefit. He didn't do it because He needed to show the world. He did it because the world needed to be shown who He was, so that they could receive His salvation. And the only way we could have that salvation is as if He was indeed fully man and yet fully God. So, I hope I haven't confused you with this theology of place. If we could just go back to it just real quick. There is nothing which is above God. The angels, the man, the world, they're all created and they are below God. But the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are one. And when we peer into the very face of the baby on Christmas morning, we peer into the very face of God. So we celebrate Christmas. We celebrate our Lord and Savior. Let's pray. Father, we do thank You for Your blessings. We thank You that You are indeed more than man. That in fact You are even more than God, any God that mankind has ever created in their mind. You are the God of the universe. You are perfect. You are all-powerful. You are all-knowing. And You love us. You loved us so much that You were willing to humble Yourself. That even though You were and are God, You came and lived as a child and grew up here to show us how we can follow You. Lord, help us to follow You. Help us to recognize the truth of Your divine nature and the ramifications of it. And to submit ourselves to Your will and to follow You. We pray this in Jesus' most precious, most holy name. Amen.